go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're visiting with Rebecca Heinrichs of the Hudson Institute, a very important and influential advocate for effective missile defenses and nuclear deterrence for the United States in a dangerous time, one that is frankly becoming more dangerous by the day. And Rebecca, you were basically making a very important point about how the threat of missile attack is growing by leaps and bounds, even from relatively impecunious and less sophisticated bad actors like North Korea. Give us a flavor of what the implications are of these developing threats for the kind of missile defense we've been allowed to have so far, and what's really needed in the future.
Well, the ballistic missile defense system that we have is comprised of many different kinds of systems, and so it's a layered ballistic missile defense system. The only system we have in place to defend the United States homeland that is currently deployed is called the Ground-Based Mid-Course Defense System. These are giant interceptors located in both California and Alaska. They were deployed in 2004 with the idea that they would be constantly developed and constantly improved to stay ahead of the limited threat coming from countries like, you say, North Korea and Iran, with more limited military capabilities, unlike that of China and Russia. The problem is, we have not had the full political support that has been constant from this White House in particular, the Obama administration, but also the Congress. And so what we've seen is we've starved the system. We have not devoted the resources to making sure that it's more sophisticated and constantly improving. And so we are at risk of countries like North Korea and Iran actually outpacing the current ballistic missile defense system that we currently have. And so we need to get back to fully resourcing it in a way and constantly doing it to ensure that we have a robust capability and not merely a limited one that is outmatched by North Korea.
Could you just explain the thinking behind the idea that we should have a missile defense, even a robust limited missile defense, if those are not oxymorons, but one that would explicitly be inadequate to protect the country against the sorts of threats that Russia and China are mounting today, let alone what they may be able to do in the future?
Right. This is something that comes from the Cold War. The idea here, for those who believe that the United States should maintain only a limited ballistic missile defense system and not one that is optimally prepared to defend the American people, believe that by keeping the system limited, by only keeping it able to defend against countries like North Korea and Iran, the rogue actors, the ones that we think might be more erratic and might be more inclined to launch a ballistic missile, but only a few of them are ones that are easier to hit, for instance. Although, like I just said, they're becoming harder to hit. But those individuals who advocate for that believe that if we keep the United States and parts of the United States and some of our military capabilities open and vulnerable to countries like Russia and China, that it will sort of keep in place this strategic balance, this mutually assured destruction idea that should the Chinese or Russians actually think that they can hit the United States with a nuclear weapon, we would simply retaliate, and therefore this sort of keeps this balance in place. But we've seen now that the Russians and the Chinese don't believe in that. They're trying to hold the United States vulnerable, and we're completely vulnerable to the sorts of offensive missile capabilities that they're developing.
But let me just ask you, I had thought we had this debate. I had thought that when President George W. Bush withdrew the United States from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty of 1972, which enshrined this whole idea of assured vulnerability or mutual assured destruction, if you will, that we really were moving, as my old boss Ronald Reagan envisioned, into an environment in which we actually defended the American people. He famously said it's better to, you know, defend them than to avenge them. What is the breakdown there, I guess, Rebecca, that says, well, we'll protect ourselves against these rogue states, but we'll maintain this kind of vulnerability deliberately, purposefully, vis-a-vis the more serious of these threats?
George W. Bush deserves credit for removing the United States out of the ABM treaty, like he said. He does. But what didn't happen after we got out of the ABM treaty is we didn't really start acting like it to the fullest potential. And what I mean by that is we developed a limited system. I think that was probably all that the president felt like he could get away with at the time politically. We were involved in other issues in foreign policy. And so it kind of went there, and it was a good thing, but it didn't go further. And as we spoke earlier, what we really need to do is expand the system to no longer say we're going to keep the United States vulnerable to Russia and China. And
including by putting missile defenses in space, something that is completely anathema, of course, to the Obama administration. But let me just ask you, Rebecca Heinrich of the Hudson Institute, as you study this, obviously, if you are going to rely upon mutual assured destruction as a means of offsetting the vulnerability that you're deliberately maintaining to missile attack, you have to be pretty serious about maintaining your nuclear deterrent as well. And you've described a little bit of how we can judge the capabilities of the Chinese and Russians, and they certainly seem to be becoming more formidable by the day. And you might just say a word about, you know, what we're up against in that department and why improvements to our nuclear deterrent are absolutely mandatory.
The Chinese and Russians are both devoting significant resources to modernizing their nuclear programs. And when they modernize, they don't just simply patch them up the way we do, the way we do most of the time, or when we do it at all. What they do is they develop new capabilities. They put multiple warheads on their ICBMs, et cetera. It's called MIRVing. They do these things in order to make their systems incredibly difficult to defend against. What the United States does is, well, first of all, we don't devote the necessary resources to modernize what we have, and then we always have to have this political debate about what sorts of warheads and capabilities we need to invest in order to ensure that they are optimally prepared to deter our adversaries and to assure our allies. And so there is a mismatch there.
As a serious student of these matters, what do you think is the likely upshot of all this? Is it likely to assure that we have a credible deterrent, especially in the absence of missile defense, or that we've perhaps actually invited nuclear aggression against us?
I've always believed that if the United States demonstrates that it's unprepared to defend itself and unprepared to defend its allies and interests, that our adversaries will exploit that because they're not squeamish about it like the United States is in a lot of ways. So you were right to point out that the arms control, and especially this administration, this president believes that arms control agreements are in and of themselves a good. But arms control agreements are supposed to be a means to an end. If they do not help and bolster American security, we do not sign them. We certainly don't sign them with countries like Russia when they don't abide by them. And so that has been one of the great failures of this administration, is failing to actually build a robust nuclear deterrent, optimally defend us with a robust ballistic missile defense system, and has instead signed again and again agreements with Russia, China, and Iran that do not serve American interests.
Rebecca, we have to leave it at that, I'm afraid, but I think this is such an important topic, and I thank you for the work that you're doing on it. You know, we're confronting an administration that I'm fond of saying seems to believe that we need to rid the world of nuclear weapons, starting with ours. And even though no one else is following suit, and the cumulative effect of its behavior on missile defense and on nuclear force modernization is putting us all in, I think, grave peril. Your clarion calls on these subjects from the Hudson Institute these days is really appreciated. I hope you'll keep it up and come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.